Hey, good afternoon. This is My Michelle Live. Today, a little bit of a different recording and broadcast for Sports Time Out because I'm actually live in Houston, Texas. I am right back there. You see that? That's Minute Maid Field. That's Minute Maid Park right there. I'm going to be catching a Dynamos game tonight. Oh, and I do wish I kind of wish I was up in Seattle. It's a little like Seattle weather here in Seattle. The Sounders are playing tonight. There's a lot of things going on around the country in sports, and we are taking it on with the guys, ladies and gentlemen. It's
Sports.
Sports, sports. I have to be quiet. I'm on an airplane.
let me just introduce you to the guys. Now, Garrick's going to be taking off pretty soon, but Garrick Payne, he is the Reverend of Sports. We have the Encyclopedia of Sports, Rich Brown, the reporter and photographer of sports, Brent Baker, and the talker of sports, I'm your host, Michelle Mendoza. Hey, guys, happy Blue Friday.
Happy Blue Friday,
Happy Blue
Michelle.
Friday. Happy Blue Friday. And, you combined two of our guys together, Michelle. You called Rich Brown, not Rich Holstrom.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. We all got to remember that I'm really black, but it doesn't look that way on the screen.
We miss Chris.
Thank you, Brown. Today, you're part of the Brown Club, guys. Today, I say Happy Blue Friday because we all have a tie to Seattle, and that's just the greeting you give on Fridays. But it's kind of a rave green Friday, isn't it? We're starting the MLS season. Sounders and Minnesota coming together. That should be a great game. Beautiful weather tonight there at what is now called the Lou, Lumen's Field. Seattle.
Sports fans, it's a long story. Someday we'll get into it.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you guys, though, about as soccer gears up. This is pretty exciting. And this is Garrick's passion. So we're going to get, and look what you're wearing right there. We're going to get your thoughts in as we delve into the season. A lot of folks are calling LA as the potential new cup holder. They're ready to grab it. Columbus was looking good in their Champions League play. What do you think of this new MLS season? And isn't it exciting that we actually kind of get to watch?
It is really exciting. And there's it's going to be quite competitive this year. I think a lot of the teams have been a lot of moves and you know, a lot of the stronger teams have their players back, and I'm excited to see how the Sounders are going to look because we've done some things to shore up and bring up some young players, and so it'll be really really exciting.
I think so. I think I was referencing an article you sent, Rich, from ESPN calling out at LA and Columbus. But, you know, if you watch, Portland had an extraordinary win just this last week. How do you count out some of the teams, and how do you already call before anyone's ever touched the ball for an MLS game in 2021? How do you really call what's going to happen? You just can't. And
well,
that's part of the soccer.
I would say, Michelle, especially when it comes to LAFC, you know, the Sounders a few years ago upset them in the playoff round. That was supposed to be the LAFC's year.
And they played great that year. They played great. I'm not going to deny it.
But that's the question about LAFC that I have. Can they finally get it done when it counts during playoff season? The Sounders have already done, you know, got it done during playoff season, but there's a lot of interesting things, especially with tonight's Sounders-Minnesota match. It's going to be a playoff rematch. The Sounders have never lost to Minnesota, 6-0-1. New formation for the Sounders with two forwards up top. I think there's a lot of things to look forward to.
Freddie Montero joining the crew. Is he actually going to play? That was something that I got feedback from last week was, yeah, I don't know. I don't see him starting. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, it's hard to say.
Go ahead, Brent.
I think, yeah, I would say the biggest thing for me with the Sounders is how they're going to account for the loss of Jordan Morris. You know, Freddie Montero, he's 10 years older than he was in his Sounders heyday. And so Yeah, he may not. It's a great PR signing. He's probably still a good player, but I don't think he's the great player that he was as far as MLS goes. As far as not fan wise, but I think as far as what I'm looking at, MLS, I'm kind of on the crew train here because they've gotten only stronger from last year. Plus, they've got a new stadium opening up. I think the biggest thing for them is, will the new guys disrupt the chemistry that they had at the end of last year when they were, you know, they really overwhelmed the Sounders in that final.
Yeah, I think the Sounders took it for granted. I don't know what happened there, but it's too soon. I can't talk about it.
and to your other point about how you can project they're going to win already, it's almost as nonsensical as the July college football poll, because you look at what guys, you know, you look at what guys have last year and who's coming back and whatever, but there's so many other factors that that you have to account for. So, and it's why you play them, right?
Well, it's Brent, exactly. I think it comes back to the point that I made earlier. LAFC hasn't done anything in the playoff season. They've been great during the regular season, but you got to be able to put it together during the, when it counts to win a cup. And they have not proven they can do that. I think that's my big stumbling block when I talk about LAFC. You also got to throw in Toronto there. But I think the other thing that's going to be interesting, new expansion club, Austin FC, and Matthew McConaughey is one of the owners.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm here in Texas. Now we've got, MLS is taking over. I'm going to be going to a Dynamo game tonight. They'll be playing Colorado. The tickets were like $28 to get into the game, you know, even if I don't use media credentials. That is not the case. Wherever you're listening, wherever you're listening and you're dealing with COVID issues, you're dealing with people getting back in the stadiums, you have got to hear what took place in Seattle. In Seattle, it has been absolute mayhem trying to get tickets. They're only giving, 7,000, Garrick? And then it was going to inaugural season ticket holders and season ticket holders. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, I actually had a guy just get on the plane here with us, and he was dressed in his Sounders gear. And he... I asked him if he was going to the match tonight, and he said that he was. It is limited, and it is going to be a challenge in that regard. But as Brent commented last week, it's just really nice to have a live audience rather than canned crowd.
Oh, I'm so tired of that. I know you guys were like, oh yeah, it sounds good. Some of you were saying that. I'm like, dude, I don't like watching sitcoms because I don't like the canned laughter, right? It's like canned
laughter. It was better than silence, but not much.
Yeah, maybe better than listening to them swear on the field. You still do. By the way, I have to share. I don't have the ability right now, but I have to share a meme or a cartoon that I put up on Facebook. And it was a guy getting a shot, you know, getting the vaccine. And he's laying on the ground flailing. And the caption says, first professional soccer player to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
About right.
But Rich, the front office of the Sounders, they have egg on their face today because it was nightmarish for people. They didn't know if they were going to get tickets, how they were going to get tickets. I don't understand why if you have one ticket, you could buy up to six. You know, it really would have been easier if they said, hey, you can have a ticket, you can buy a ticket. I don't know what happened, but I know a lot of fans it left a sour taste in their mouth. Hopefully it won't. I don't think it'll carry on into the game, but that was kind of tough. And now the secondary market, you see people being able to make hundreds of dollars off, you know, scalped tickets. It's kind of mayhem, Rich.
Well, definitely. And if you're a scalper, this is probably one of the best days of the year for you, unfortunately. And unfortunately, that's a part of sports. You know, sports is a business once again, and we've talked about it so many different times. Just don't lose your shirt for one game. That's my advice to fans out there.
Especially not a regular season game.
Right. Right.
Lose it for a playoff game.
Opening though, and it's sunny. I mean, if you're not from Seattle, you got to take that into account. The opening match, and it's going to be good weather. That's going to be something. And yet, I don't think any of us here are going to the match tonight, are we?
Well, I'll get to watch the first half, and then I actually have my own match because I'm going to play a tournament in Vegas the first week of May. We're having a few warm-up games, so I'll be playing at 7, so I'll have to come off that halftime to find out the final score.
Speaking of Las Vegas, MLS released a potential cities for future expansion, and Phoenix and Vegas, along with San Diego, are now on that list, according to you.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting as soccer continues to grow. So, gentlemen, let's take on the other football a little bit. They're still moving and shaking as the pigskin turns, our never-ending saga of soap opera behind the scenes before the first kickoff of the National Football League. Anyone want to take that on? What's going on?
Well, the biggest thing this week, Michelle, the Seahawks, along with the Denver Broncos and a couple of other teams, I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Detroit Lions have also been added to that list. They're not going to do in-person voluntary off-season workouts. They say that the Zoom workouts, let's just call it what it is, last year, were good enough. And we don't want to meet together in person. And that's what the teams decided earlier this week. And I think this is reverberation for the owners basically shoving a 17-game season down the players' throats. And so there's going to be a little bit of negotiation before we go into off-season workouts. And I can see why the players would not want to do these off. Most of these guys don't like these off-season workouts. Most of the guys don't like training camp. They're just trying to shorten the off-season and the workout time. Politics once again enters the world of sports, gentlemen.
Right. You know, I think training camp is essential. We saw a little bit of this last year. People got on, and I'm going to tie it into something you bring up, Brent, as you coach kids coming back after COVID. They're a bit soft. They're a bit, you know, not game ready. There's injuries that can happen. That training camp is an important, essential part. And I'm not going to lie, I love going to training camp as well. That's a lot of fun for fans that are allowed to go on fan days, guys.
Well, there's nothing better than training camp stories from the old time Seahawks. We don't have time to go into any of those right now, but I know that training camp, that's when a lot of the fun stories, Brent, come out.
Yeah. I think the thing that with this though, is they're called voluntary off-season workouts. And they're that, you know, it's like a political bill. It usually is the opposite of what the name is. So the players, you know, I kind of understand their discontent over the 17 game season. Not necessarily that it's happening, I think, but the way it was not negotiated, it was just done. So I think they're saying, okay, well, this is voluntary. It really doesn't hurt us to not voluntarily show up to these things. I do think that down the line, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, because I think you'll have the rookies and the younger players that really could use those.
They want to be there.
They want to be there.
20 to 25 guys right now at the Seahawks complex.
Yeah. They want to be there. So you may see this soften, but probably it will spread to more and more teams first before some negotiation occurs. They say that it's a lack of clear protocols, clear COVID protocols that are preventing this. I think Rich, you're right. If the 17 game season hadn't been pushed on them, this may not have happened at all. But that being said, if they negotiate protocols that they can publicize and say, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to stay safe, then maybe you'll see some of this go away.
Hey, you are taking a lead on recording today, Brent. keep a lookout. Coach E is going to be joining us soon, it looks like. So I'll look forward to having Coach E in as we take on our sports timeout. If you are joining in the middle here, where is she? Where in the world is Michelle? I'm in Houston, Texas.
Coach E is in the room. Hey! Hey, that's glorious. All right.
I don't know where you're at, my friend. I'm in Houston, Texas, in front of Minute Maid Park, but you look like you're in a galaxy far, far away. Welcome.
What's up, guys? I'm glad to be on finally. It's been been a few weeks.
We were just talking about the NFL, and we talked about the Sounders and how crazy that the whole ticket thing was, getting excited about MLS starting up tonight. And now we have moved on to football, 17 games, kind of some negotiation of preseason, off-season workouts, training camp. I don't know. What are your thoughts? What's going on there?
17 games is a lot, I think. But I mean, I can see kind of what they're thinking is, hey, we'll remove a preseason game, add an extra game. The issue I kind of have with it is the whole bye thing. It's like they're putting the bye at the beginning of the preseason. I mean, like at the end of the preseason, they're going to start everybody off with like a week off of preseason, and then they'll have I think they should do two byes during the season when guys are more beat up. And I've actually talked to players about this, former players. I've talked to former NFL players and a couple, and I said, hey, what do you guys think about this? And they said, what if you end up with the bye, you know, before game one, which everyone will have that week off, but then your next bye is week five, you know, and then it's like you still have like a ton of games. So it'd be better if like week five, you know, they just spread out two byes during the season.
Well, we all know where this is going, guys. And Coach E, you'll probably say that I'm correct on this. At least I hope you will, that this is really headed to 18 games. They want to do 18 games. And I think the NFL should have just said, you know, guys, we want to eventually do 18 games, because I don't know if everyone out there who's listening to our show today already knows that the Canadian Football League does 18 games and two preseason games. So this has been done before, and the NFL just needs to once again get its act together and not pretend like this is about one thing and then when it's really about another. This is just on the way to 18 games, and we want to do more TV things. We want to do this, that, and the other thing. It's business. Just be honest about it.
And I think, too, from a fan perspective, one of the things that the NFL has always done that really I found annoying was if you're a season ticket holder, all the preseason games are included in your season ticket package, and they're the same price as the regular season games. So from a fan perspective, I think this actually obviously the prices will probably go up, but I think it does add value to your season ticket package as well, where you don't have two home games that are full price where nothing's going on that counts. That will change to one. So from a fan perspective, not the player perspective, but from the fan perspective, I actually like it.
I also think from a player perspective and a fan perspective, you got to expand the rosters past 53 people if you're going to add an extra game. Yeah. Because if you can't like continue to say it's about like player safety, if it's about entertainment and things like that, then you really should just open the rosters up to like 60 guys. That way, on that extra game, I mean, because as you guys know, there's some teams that just get tons of injuries. You add an extra game, more injuries. So up the roster, and that way, by increasing the roster, you're also not the people like look at Seattle's own Doug Baldwin. Wasn't drafted, was it, you know, a walk-on guy? Those guys, look at Matt Hasselbeck from the day, you know, another guy that really needed those preseason games. If you have an expanded roster, You have an expanded roster. It's my dog who's trying to give me
a your dog's trying to expand the roster too. He wants to get on the show.
He's like, hey everybody, I should get in on this. I really think that increasing the roster allows those guys that would normally slip through the cracks, it gives them jobs, and it allows for quality play to continue to happen on, you know, when normally that might not happen. So that's just kind of what I think. The roster needs to get expanded.
Well, yeah, I would go along with you, coach. Go ahead, Brent.
I think it's a bargaining chip for the NFL too, because if you want the players to buy into this, you create, say, 200 to 250 more jobs. That's a win for the players, right? Right. And well, it also, in order to do that, you have to increase the salary cap. So hopefully, I mean, I know that this year was hopefully an anomaly with COVID issues cutting the salary cap, but the cap will return to normal. Huge new TV deals coming up.
Yes, they'll spend that Amazon money.
The TV deals will include more games, so there will be more money, bigger salary cap. I think if you add those positions to the player to the roster size, you'll probably get more buy-in from the players.
Well, I think that sounds reasonable, but, you know, some are balking, saying that COVID's cost all sports leagues a lot of money. So expanding the roster, you know, it just means more money going out.
Well, I think, Michelle, the way to look at this, and if the NFL really wanted to take care of this, here's what they do. They come out and say, we're going to eventually go to 18 games, and this is the year we're going to do it. And we're also going to go to a 60-man roster where every man is eligible for every game. And that would put away some of this finagling with the roster and who's going to be our third quarterback and who's going to be not going to be inactive today or who is going to be inactive. I think the NFL really just needs to go to a 60-man roster with everybody eligible. And let's just play some football.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that, and so it should be.
And the other thing that we'll send our vote in. the other thing that we also have to remember is last year they added an extra playoff team. So on top of adding an extra playoff team and expanding the regular season, there's just going to be a lot more football, which us as fans are excited about. From the players' perspective, some of these guys are going to play a lot of games. And I mean, we all seen some of the guys that played shorter seasons, it takes a toll. And so, you know, I understand that COVID hit a lot of us hard, but somebody like Jerry Jones, I'm pretty sure COVID didn't bug him too much. I mean, if I went up to Judy Allen and I said, hey, you know, it's a little rough owning the Seahawks. How are you doing? Okay. I'm pretty sure they're doing just fine.
I think another thing you could see with that too is what we've been seeing in the NBA increasingly is load management nights off. So you probably, it's hard for me to imagine Russell Wilson taking a game off, but you probably with an expanded schedule and expanded roster will probably start seeing guys, especially if you have a situation where your bye week is in week four, and then you have 15 straight weeks of games after that, plus playoffs. You'll start seeing guys.
You got to think of your long haul.
Load management week off. Yeah.
Yeah. And the nice thing is those other guys, those seven extra guys that are on your roster, and you and not only do you have the 60-man roster, you up the date. Like, I think there's I can't remember what the roster amount, like the amount you can have active during game day. You could increase that number as well. So then you give the coaches a better opportunity to, you know, do things like that in case of injuries. I mean, it just seems like
drawback. There is no, I don't see a downside. Anyone?
That's why the simplest thing to do is to make the 60-man roster. Now with the NBA, they've got another problem that the NFL doesn't have, is that the NBA regular season really doesn't matter to people. That's why their TV ratings have been going down. And they got to do something else with the regular season, because the NBA regular season, let's face it, guys, really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to some issues in the NBA. I want to talk about, we talked about the toll that so many games take on. How's that working thus far for baseball as, you know, baseball season is in full swing? Boom, excuse the pun. While we're still in the on the NFL and I'm still here in Houston, let's talk about Deshaun Watson. Any updates?
Nothing really, except that the names are going to be have been and are going to be revealed. One of the women who had brought suit against Deshaun Watson has decided not to go forward, but it's, we're still playing a wait and see game, Michelle. I think this is one of those things where we've got to, and I'll say it again because I've said it a couple weeks ago and a couple weeks consecutively, got to find the truth.
Yeah.
And you must also protect the rights of all individuals involved.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, someone's famous and there's allegations. And if I saw him in a coffee shop, I could see someone jumping on the bandwagon. You know, I'm not saying that he's not guilty. I'm just kind of siding with you. We've got to really, we're supposed to be innocent until we've proven guilty. And there's a lot to sort through. And I'm hoping that we'll get to that. But it's still a disturbing story, Coachy.
Yeah. So I've been following this story since, you know, Deshaun Watson, since before we were talking about, are the Texans going to trade him? And now it's like, it's this situation where, like, if these things are all true, will this guy even ever play again? I mean, what's fascinating for me to watch in this is how 6 months ago, we thought we knew one thing, and now it's to a point where all of these sponsors are, you know, dropping him and putting him on hold. And it's like, you know, if you know, all the things are true, this is a really good lesson for other people to see how far, you know, you can climb to get to somewhere. And then through your own actions, if these things are true, you can knock yourself all the way down.
I know. It makes me pause in my own life and say, you know, what am I doing and what choices am I making and how am I living or not living the God story? Because it really comes down to that. It's, you know, his actions, just like each one of ours, is between you and God. How am I not living a way that can, where you could see your whole world just crumble in just a matter of minutes? It's harsh. It's harsh.
Well, it just goes to show, Michelle, that we all need accountability and we need people that are in our corner to give us some of that accountability and also to tell us, hey, put up the yield sign. Maybe this is not a place where you need to go or a thing that you don't need to be involved in. And the thing that comes about here with a lot of money, and I've had a lot of discussions with Matt Hasselbeck and other Seahawk players and other people that I've known throughout my broadcasting and media career. And sometimes it gets really hard to tell who your friends are and who should be your friends and who your circle should be.
You guys are my friends. I trust you guys and I appreciate you. Keep me in line. Keep me in line.
Well, remember that when you're making a lot of money.
Remember, Michelle hits it big. We're still doing the round tables on Fridays.
Yeah, so that's right.
Rich, you were talking about the NBA and having some issues. And I know that their play-in tournament is getting a little bit of slack. You want to take that on?
Yeah, well, Mark Cuban, who's one of the best guys at developing a business and one of my favorite people to watch on the Shark Tank, I think he hit it right on the head here with this play-in tournament. This is another gimmick that the NBA is trying to use to pump up interest into the regular season.
Okay.
That's flat out what it is. And he called him out basically for that. And I got to agree with Mark. If your product is good enough, you don't need gimmicks to sell it.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, the tournament maybe, but regular play, they're as you mentioned, Coach E, NBA's having a hard time drawing fans.
Yeah, so the importance on the regular season is clearly not there from the player's perspective. And I literally, when I watch basketball, I could remove the name of the teams and it all kind of just blends to me. There's not. So what I mean is I feel like the NBA would actually benefit from less games because it's so oversaturated. I mean, if you remove a playoff team, you know, something like that, because right now the players get very complacent. They're like, oh, well, we're all making the postseason, so it's not a big deal. Or, hey, I'm just going to rest my body, which they should. But if you cut the season to like 70 games and you said, all right, this is the season. And then that would mean that, you know, for example, like a younger LeBron James would have to say, oh, shoot, you know, there's only 70 games. We can't really lose these, you know, these 8 games in a row while I'm sitting out. And I feel like in today's NBA, there's so many games that after like the first 20 games, you already know who's going to make the playoffs. It's not, you know, I haven't seen a team in the NBA, you know, pull one of those massive comebacks. Like for years, you know, after the Bulls, you know, of the 90s, for years, the East was a complete joke. It was like everybody that's 500 made the playoffs. And the West, everybody was super good that would make jokes about if we were in the East, we just win. And so I feel like, to come back to my point, it's just an oversaturation of the product. And then as Mark Cuban said, the product is good. It's just too much. Like, just cut back on it a little bit and make it more important again.
Yeah, I think there's too many teams in the playoffs there. The problem is that because of the money that's involved, you're never going to be able to get rid of playoff rounds. I think the original didn't this play-in tournament originate last year, sort of to
that was kind of an idea sort of that came out last year.
I think that the thing the problems, I think they're all intertwined, but these problems with the NBA, you have this group of super teams, and then everybody else is just kind of chasing them. So you really already know that there's like only four teams that have the potential to win the whole thing from the very start of the season. So I think that the parity that you see in the NFL, certainly in baseball, there's more parity than there is in the NBA because they lack that. That's another reason the regular season is meaningless, is because you already have these teams you know are going to make it no matter what, and you just wait until you get to the playoffs to see them pound on each other.
Well, the other thing about the NBA is if you look at their national television contract and the way that their schedule is mapped out, there are very few teams that are included in that schedule per se. There's a lot of Brooklyn games. There's a lot of Laker games. There's a lot of teams that you don't see unless they're playing one of the so-called powerhouse super teams. Mm-hmm. The NBA does a terrible job of orchestrating their TV contract compared to the NFL.
Oh, I agree. And the drawback to that is that you want to grow your sport and interest in the sport. You don't do that by just playing your superstars. You do that by playing someone's home, you know, own town, and helping build that franchise. That really does contribute to the overall feel and appreciation. I don't know what happened to Coach E, but I think we need to all for his birthday, get him a phone charger, because I think that's what happened.
maybe he went to the dog. The dogs took over the show. Took over that part of the show. But I think
I wanted to say, Rich, that building individual franchises, building interest, yes. But something else that we've often talked about on the show, I think a lot of regular folk get tired of people being too woke. And the going phrase is go woke, go broke. People just say, I've had enough. So,
the NBA has stuck their foot in that more than any league.
But so has Major League Baseball. They're flirting with that as well, as we talked about last week. And they've gotten some blowback because of that, haven't they?
Well, definitely with the Major League All-Star game moving from Atlanta to Colorado, who has similar voting laws to the new Atlanta proposed law, which doesn't really change anything.
No.
And it's interesting that the Georgia politicians, the Georgia politicians are kind of backtracking a bit on, not so much on the what they're saying about the voting law, although one of them admitted that he disseminated false information. But at the same time, they're saying, oh, wait, boycotting actually is not helping our community. So I wish you hadn't done that. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny, Brent? I should have brought this up last week. We don't really talk that much golf on Sports Timeout, but it's funny how all of the politics disappeared last week somewhat during the Masters, and how ESPN applauded the move of the All-Star game from Atlanta, but they had no problem showing the Masters all over ESPN and their various platforms.
Yeah, I think the biggest flap there was the unauthorized golf sponsorship photo op that was it Gary Player's son?
Ah, yes, sir. That's the problem.
Selective outrage that yes. Moving from Atlanta to Colorado that has similar laws also is much less diverse. There, you know, you're not going to see a whole lot of people walking through the stadium and they've got their jobs, you know, selling hot dogs, or the businesses surrounding the stadium that get the money that are very diverse in Georgia. So that's,
I think Elston's got his abacus going there.
Yeah. Come on. I'm going to get you in on this, Coachy.
So as we've talked before about like other, you know, hot button topics, even on sports or, you know, on Health Watch, in terms of like the political correctness and different things like this, the Major League Baseball saw a way to make some of their sponsors happy and create more sponsors by choosing to do this. Do I believe that this is genuinely their concern? No. Do I believe that they, Major League Baseball, cares about any state's voting laws? No. Do they believe that Coca-Cola said to them, hey, a lot of our Coke drinkers are upset about this and we would like it to for you guys to do something? Yeah. So this is all money motivated from that corporate standpoint. And
do you think Coca-Cola really cares, or is it just
they actually are backtracking a little bit. Coke is.
Well, that's because,
It's costing them.
Like someone like Coca-Cola or Pepsi or things like that, they have to try to appease everybody, where Major League Baseball, they can make this. And from Major League Baseball standpoint, they could make some news. It's moved to Colorado. Next year, everybody forgets that it got moved. They're very much looking at how can we appease a situation to make it, make us some more money, because I don't really think how many times has a major corporation or a sporting league done what they actually believed was right, that they knew was going to cost them money?
Right. I'll tell you the number on that, Coach. I can tell you the number right now, and I don't have to be the sports encyclopedia for that.
I mean, we all watched and we've had discussion about,
yeah,
we've all had that discussion about, the Colin Kaepernick and, those different things. And as I tell people, they're like, yeah, look at the NFL. They're doing this stuff now. And I'm like, why? Like what? It's all real phony, but now there's ads, there's Nike doing things, there's Reebok doing things. And so there's money in it. So of course they're going to make money off of it. I mean, there's NFL sponsored shirts that say stuff like that now, because there's money.
You know where there's not going to be money. You know where there's not going to be money, and the people that are not going to forget that this happened are those businesses around Atlanta that were just hanging on, knowing
very true,
knowing that this the All-Star game was coming, had a chance for some rebound from COVID, and now that shot's gone. So they're saying, you know, probably will cost that local economy over $100 million.
There's another side to this, guys, that I think we need to look at.
If
Major League Baseball was really concerned about where the All-Star game was, maybe they should be more concerned about the lack of Black players on the roster currently, because the last numbers that I looked at had the percentage of African American players close to 1% or a little bit higher than that. The Mariners have 10 players that are African American now on their current major league roster, and they are one of the highest percentages in Major League Baseball. Remember,
well, at least we won something. I like it. Hey, while we're talking about Major League Baseball, I have a question for you. Maybe it's not for this week, if you need some time to think about it, but what would your walk-on song be? And for those of you listening, walk-on song, you know, MMA, or if you're playing Major League Baseball, as you come up to bat, they play a song, you know, 30 seconds of a song. What would your walk-on song be? Do, 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 do,
do. Okay, which one of you guys is going to go first? Are you going to force me to throw the encyclopedia into the pool?
Come on, Encyclopedia Rick.
Okay, I would say and this is totally true. Soldiers Under Command by Stryper.
Oh, that's
what
good.
Is it? What?
Soldiers Under Command by Stryper.
Nice. Come so, on.
Yeah.
I would go with Pantera Walk.
Okay. So,
a little heavy metal back to back there.
Friends.
Man, I'm having trouble with something specific, but Van Halen's sounding pretty good right about now.
Okay.
Let's go Panama. Let's go Panama.
There we go.
or I might come out to Baby Shark. You know, that would be funny.
What could be better? Coachy, you've played rugby.
And Hey, wait. What was yours, Michelle?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking Travis Tritt, Trouble. Because sometimes okay. I am. Most definitely. Seattle Seawolves, Major League Rugby, and for those of you who are out of the Seattle area, where we all call in one way or another home, Major League Rugby is still fairly new. It's like, you know, it's been 4 years ago that they put this league together. Seattle has been pretty dominant, maybe not so much this year, but still, it's been fun to watch. But for much of America, rugby isn't something we grew up with. So some of the rules of play, some of the terminology, some of the scoring, all of that positions is all kind of new to us. May 2nd, I believe, Encyclopedia Rich, that is correct. The first game, home game for the Seattle Seawolves.
That is correct.
Major League Rugby is in full play. And I'm wondering if you can give us maybe every week, educate us a little bit more, Coachy, on rugby. The way they score, when you scrum, when you know, some of the things that Americans just don't know.
Yeah, so I'll come up with a cool little list, and we'll kind of do that, and we'll chat about. I'll be like the rugby guy. I'd be more than happy to help out with that. One of the things I was gonna just mention about rugby in the U.S. that I'm really happy to see that it's still going that Major League Rugby is still pushing forward.
And it makes it through COVID.
Because sometimes when something newer comes out and it gets hit with something like the pandemic, it folds. And XFL. It's still pushing forward and there's still interest. And like when I walk around Seattle, yeah. I still see people playing, you know, not haven't recently seen people playing, but there was a lot of rugby happening before the COVID was going on. So it's nice to see that it's still pushing forward. And I'm really excited. One thing I've noticed about Major League Rugby, unlike MLS and other American sports organizations, is that the Seawolves are able to retain a lot of guys. Like, it's like they're like, hey, we just won. We're bringing everybody back. And some of these guys could go other places. And I'm like, how come they can do that? But, you know, it's really cool to see, because then guys are incentivized to want to stay because they want to keep winning. So yeah, I'm personally going to do some research onto figuring out like the whole salary for those guys, what they do in their off season. And I'll have some things for you guys on this on Friday. I'm excited about this.
I would like that. Guys, it's about time for us to go to our final shot, where we go around the round table and just give a shout out or a thought to something, someone. And I'm going to start today. I am so excited about MLS. I love watching the Sounders, but I love watching soccer. I will be down here in Houston watching the Dynamo, but cheering. I am going to be wearing a Sounders kit. So there, I said it. Okay.
Is it
going to
be the Jimi Hendrix top? That would be a hit down there.
I haven't picked one of those up yet, but that is glorious. But shout out to a start of another MLS season. Brent?
Well, we didn't talk too many Mariners, but man, they had a nice road trip going 5-2, you know, and I think some things are coming together really nicely. Liking how the starting pitching seems to be solidifying the last few days.
We needed that.
Yes, we did. They've got a tough stretch ahead with the Astros and the Dodgers at home. So they're going to probably take some lumps. They're a young team, but my shout out goes to James Paxton, because I've loved him as a player, and for his season, the last 24 pitches and then be done with all the work he's done to get back healthy. I hope to see him back pitching, if not here, somewhere in a year, once he's able to recover from this.
Yeah. Coachy, final shot.
My final shout out is to, I'm going to, you know, give a shout out to all of our educators here in the States and abroad, listening all wherever you are. Some of you guys in your states, countries and whatnot are headed back to in-person school. And you guys had to do a lot of stuff on the fly. I always feel like you guys are underplayed and undervalued for the amount of work you do for the kids around the world. And I really appreciate all the work, all the sacrifice you guys do for doing what you love and taking care of all these kids. I just wanted to, you know, come out and say thank you very much for taking care of the youth and providing a good learning and healthy experience for all of the young people around the world.
Here, here. Encyclopedia Rich, final shot.
Well, I'm going to have to go back to the Seattle Mariners once again. My shout out is to Mitch Haniger, who's now providing the power for that Mariner lineup. The Mariners 5-2 on their recent road trip, win a whole bunch of games against Baltimore, play two doubleheaders. They're in first place, people. Let's hear it for the Mariners. 8-5 in first place. When was the last time that happened?
Hold on to that.
Wait, you don't have that date? Well, three years ago when they started 15-3 with that mirage.
Yeah. You mean 13-2, I think is what
you're somewhere around there. Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. All I see is coffee. That's all I see. By the way, Coach,
the show has gone to the dogs.
Oh, Coochie can be found at etrainfitness.com. And I've said we've got the Encyclopedia of Sports. I'm the talker of sports. Brent's the reporter and photographer of sports. Well, Elston is the player of sports. He's played pretty much everything you can imagine out there. And guys, it is so great to start my weekend. Even though I'm far away, it's good to be close to my brothers. We will catch you next week for Sports Time Out. This is My Michelle Live. Make sure you like us, share us, comment, and become part of the show, and join us at mymichellelive.com.
Thanks for having us on.
Next week.